Okay, so we've got a pretty hefty stack of articles about quantum computing here. You really went all out. I'm guessing you're ready to like really get into the nitty-gritty this time.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like everyone's talking about quantum computing these days, and, you know, a lot of it is just hype.
Right. Like, is it really going to revolutionize everything?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? Honestly, it reminds me of all the talk about AI taking over the world.
Totally. And we're still waiting for that to happen.
Exactly. Quantum computing is more like a specialized tool, you know? It's
Yeah.
not going to magically solve every problem, but it does have the potential to be incredibly powerful in certain areas.
Okay, so let's talk about those areas. In your notes, you were particularly interested in what this all means for online security. Something about encryption being cracked wide open.
Right. So if something called Shor's algorithm ever gets powerful enough, like really scaled up, it could potentially break the encryption we use for things like online banking.
Whoa, and that's not a good thing, obviously. So besides throwing our digital lives into chaos, what are these quantum computers actually good at? What kind of problems can they solve that our current computers just can't handle?
Okay, imagine searching for one specific book in a library that's like the size of the entire universe. That's the kind of problem that quantum computers could potentially tackle really, really well.
Okay, so sifting through massive amounts of data. Got it. What else?
Things like designing completely new materials at the atomic level, or optimizing super complex systems like maybe even financial markets.
Okay, that's getting pretty sci-fi.
Right. And a lot of this comes down to a concept called annealing.
Annealing. Is that like when you heat up metal and then cool it down slowly to make it stronger?
Yeah, kind of. Basically, quantum annealing is all about finding the absolute best solution out of a huge number of possibilities. It's like trying to find the lowest point in a giant, super complicated landscape.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. But before my brain melts down from all this quantum weirdness, let's take a step back and talk about the actual hardware. Because I mean, we're not talking about something you can just put on your desk, right?
No, not quite. Forget laptops. We're talking giant cylinders, wires everywhere, labs full of equipment. It's a whole different ballgame.
So no quantum laptops anytime soon.
Not unless you have a lab in your backpack. And those things have to be colder than outer space.
Colder than space? Seriously? How is that even possible?
It all comes down to those qubits, the building blocks of quantum computers. They're super, super sensitive.
Like, more sensitive than my dog when I eat the last slice of pizza.
Way more sensitive. Even the tiniest change in temperature can mess them up.
Wow, okay. So you've got these incredibly fragile qubits that need to be kept ridiculously cold just to function. And all of that is just for the hardware to even work.
Pretty much. And then there's all that shielding and complex wiring you see in the pictures.
To keep those stray radio waves from messing everything up.
Exactly. It's a whole new level of engineering.
That's wild. But it makes sense considering what we're dealing with here.
Totally. It's all about creating the perfect environment for those mind-bending qubits to do their thing.
Okay, so we've talked about how these quantum computers are these big, crazy, complicated machines. But what I don't really get is how these qubits actually work. Like, they're not just ones and zeros like in our normal computers, right?
Yeah, it gets a little weird. Qubits, they can be a one or a zero, or they can be in the state called superposition.
Superposition, like a superhero.
Yeah, not quite. It basically means they can be both zero and one at the same time.
Wait, what? How is that even possible?
It's a quantum thing. It's kind of like imagine you're exploring every path in a maze, but like all at the same time instead of one at a time.
Okay, my brain is definitely starting to hurt a little
Yeah.
bit. So, how do we even picture a qubit? We can imagine bits as like a light switch, on or off. What about these qubit things?
Well, we have to get a little more creative. There's this thing called a block sphere.
A what sphere?
Block sphere. It's like think of a sphere, any sphere, like a globe. Each point on that sphere represents a possible state of the qubit.
So it's not just like up for one, down for zero. It's like all over the place.
Exactly. It can be anywhere on that sphere. And the really cool part is we can actually control where it is. It's like choreographing a dance, but on the block sphere.
A quantum dance party. I like it. But seriously, how do we actually control them?
We use things called quantum gates. They're kind of like logic gates in regular computers, but instead of just switching things between zero and one, they're like rotating and manipulating the qubit around that block sphere.
Each gate is like a different dance move, then.
You got it. And the sequence of gates, it's like the whole dance routine, it determines what the computation does.
Okay. This is blowing my mind a little.
Yeah.
But how do we actually get an answer out of this whole system? At some point, we got to know if it's a zero or a one, right?
Right. And this is where it gets even weirder. When you measure a qubit, you force it to collapse out of that superposition state. So it has to pick zero or one.
So just by looking at it, we're changing the outcome.
Kind of, yeah. And the thing is, it's probabilistic.
Probabilistic, like flipping a coin.
Exactly. You know the probabilities, but you don't know for sure what you'll get until you actually measure it.
So how can you trust the results if it's, like, random?
That's where those shots come in. Remember we talked about that select number of shots option on IBM's Qiskit?
Yeah, it sounded kind of like a video game.
Right. So basically, each shot, it's like running the computation once and measuring the qubits. Do it a bunch of times, and you start to build up a pattern.
Like flipping a coin a bunch of times to see if it's weighted or not.
Exactly. More shots, more data, more confidence in the results.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay.
So it's not just about instant answers. It's more like we're dealing with probabilities, right?
Exactly. And that's something to keep in mind when we start talking about things like quantum AI, which I know you were really interested in.
Yeah, because if quantum computers are so different, will that change how we think about artificial intelligence?
That's the million-dollar question. It's not just about making AI faster. It's about coming up with entirely new ways to do AI using these quantum properties.
Like what? Give me an example.
Drug discovery. Imagine being able to simulate exactly how a new drug will interact with the human body, like at the atomic level.
Okay, yeah, that would be huge.
Yeah.
But how could we do that with a quantum computer?
Well, simulating something that complex is basically impossible for our regular computers. But qubits, they operate in the same weird quantum world as those molecules do.
So they can speak the same language, basically.
Right. And that opens up all sorts of possibilities. But we're already getting into some seriously mind-bending territory here. You mentioned that this all felt a little matrixy, and honestly, you're not wrong.
Right. Like we're talking about the very nature of reality here.
Exactly. And that's where things get really philosophical.
So we're not just talking about building better computers. We're talking about potentially reshaping our whole understanding of reality.
It really is that fundamental. And, you know, it goes back to some pretty old philosophical questions.
Like what kind of questions?
Well, you know, that whole if a tree falls in the forest thing, does it make a sound if no one's there to hear it?
Right. Like, does reality even exist if we're not looking at it?
Exactly. It sounds kind of silly in our everyday world, but in the quantum world, it's like the universe is saying, hold on, I need to check if anyone's watching before I decide what's going on over here.
It's like the universe is playing a giant game of hide and seek with us.
Right. Like, our observation is what forces those quantum particles to make up their minds.
Okay, now my head is really starting to hurt. So how does this all tie back to quantum computers?
Well, if we're building machines that operate according to these quantum rules, does that mean we're creating tools that can explore these really big questions about reality?
Whoa, it's not just about making faster computers. It's about unlocking these deep mysteries of the universe.
Exactly. And one of the wildest ideas that's come out of all this is the many worlds interpretation.
Oh, you mean the multiverse? Like all those sci-fi shows where there's a million different versions of me running around?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it says that every time a quantum measurement happens, all the possible outcomes actually do happen, just in different universes.
So there's a universe out there where I actually understand quantum physics. That's kind of terrifying.
Right. It's a wild thought. And it's still a big debate amongst physicists, but it shows you just how weird and mind-blowing this stuff really is.
So even if we set aside the whole multiverse thing for now, the implications of all this are still huge, right?
Oh, absolutely. Quantum mechanics. It's challenging everything we thought we knew about cause and effect, even the nature of time itself.
It's like we did a whole new way of thinking just to wrap our heads around it.
And the crazy thing is we're just getting started. Quantum computing. It's opening up all these new avenues for exploration, not just in science, but in our fundamental understanding of what's even possible.
It's like we've been handed this amazing new tool, but we're still figuring out how to use it.
Exactly. And who knows what other mind-blowing discoveries are waiting for us as we keep digging deeper into this quantum world.
Well, on that note, I think we've definitely gone as deep as we can for one episode. We've covered a lot of ground, from the actual hardware to the philosophical implications of it all. It's been quite a journey.
It really has. And for our listeners, if any of this piqued your curiosity, I'd say keep exploring. There's a whole universe of knowledge out there waiting to be discovered.
And that's what makes it all so fascinating, right?
Absolutely. It's the journey into the unknown that keeps us going.
Well said. Until next time, then keep asking those big questions, and maybe even try to build your own quantum computer in your backyard. You never know what you might find.
Just make sure it's cold enough.
That's right. And with that, we'll see you all next time for another deep dive.